Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of what is this called? Pursuit of Profit. I love it.
It is Friday.
I know, right? Welcome to Friday.
And welcome to Friday.
We're about to get some wine tips as well. So let me say this. I'm Chris Angel. I'm your co-host. I'm here with your host, Leanne Ozane-Smith. And Leanne, I'm excited for the topic today because it's super smart and maybe over my head.
No, it's not over your head. But we are going to talk about how to increase your profits by decreasing your taxes. Yes.
Yeah. Who says no to that? Right? Like, let's increase profit. I know.
And the second part of that, we can't forget. Don't let me forget.
Yes.
We need to tell people the importance of having a CPA that they love.
Okay, good.
Right. Which is a perfect segue to say your CPA should be somebody you love enough to want to drink wine with.
Hey, good segue. Nice transition. I like it. All right. So I'm loving this. We do this little segment at the beginning where we get to have a wine tip, because for those of you that like wine out there, Leanne is a wine connoisseur. I didn't want to say it, but you said it. So.
Okay. I'm snobby about three things and three things only, I think.
Yeah?
But they're all beverages. I'm snobby about my coffee, my water, and my wine. Like,
oh, check it out. I like
I
it.
I just Way don't put stuff in my mouth that doesn't taste good.
Well, Leanne's snobbery is your benefit listening to this. So what are we drinking today?
We are drinking Rain Cloud, and it is awesome. It is actually a Napa wine. I know in the last episode I said that we like Washington, but Napa's okay too.
Okay, all right, shout out to Napa.
What's awesome about this, you race people, this is January, and you need to go to your nearest Trader Joe's, and you need to buy cases of it if you love wine, because this wine, they were sampling it in the store, and it has the flavor of like a good $20, $25 bottle, but a price point of $5.99.
What?
It's awesome.
Get out of here.
All right.
Get out of here.
Rain Cloud, baby.
Oh, okay. That's a good tip. Trader Joe's across the nation are going to be out of this wine.
Trader Joe's going to be like, what happened, people?
Yeah, it was Leanne's show.
Edition. So I personally bought two cases.
Nice. Nice. Way to go. Right.
So that's a great segue. So before we talk about tax law, I do really want to talk about your relationship with your CPA, because it's January and we're getting ready to file our taxes and things like that. I understand, no offense to CPAs, I understand how painful it is to sit with CPAs and financial advisors, because I am a financial advisor and I know how painful it can be to sit with some of my peers. So I just want to give you permission and help you understand the importance of a tax advisor that you know, like, and trust, and that you could sit and drink wine with. I go out and have lunch with my CPA at least once a year. I want that kind of rapport with her, and I have that kind of rapport with her. But more often than not, the people that I see come through my office and I ask, like, what's your relationship with your CPA like? They're like, I don't know. Like, I guess it's fine. And then what comes out as I get to know somebody is their CPA doesn't give them creative ideas. Their CPA doesn't maybe think like, oh, you fired somebody, or you hired somebody, that impacts you this way. Or, oh, you incorporated, that affects you this way. So as a rule of thumb, we love CPAs. We need them in our life. We do. But they are kind of people who like to sit behind a computer and type numbers in and make spreadsheets. They don't necessarily love talking to human beings. And some CPAs I have found are just not creative and they don't know how to give advice. They know how to do taxes. Those are different skills.
I think sometimes that, you know, task-oriented people who follow rules are drawn to that type of work. There's a lot of rules that you get to follow, which is fun for people that like to follow rules. Like the IRS has plenty of rules. And so it feels good for them to be able to comply with what the job is. I can do the number. I know what's expected of me. And so a lot of, you know, like, you know, maybe 90% of accountants are that way. And then you get like the 5 or 10% who are creative and they understand how to navigate and recommend and advise and counsel.
And talk to people and like have a conversation. It's a skill. The same thing happens with financial planners and advisors. Sometimes they're just like the most insufferable group of people. Actually, last week I was on a conference call with a bunch of advisors from around the nation, and I had like 10 minutes to talk about something I do uniquely in my practice. And at the end of it, they said, one of the guys said who was leading it, he's like, I don't really even know what you just said. Did you just say like, you hang out with your clients, I'm like, you should try it. It deepens your relationships. So anyway, here's the thing. If you don't like your CPA or your financial advisor for that matter, on the best day when life is good and business is great, if this is not somebody you want to hang out with or spend time with, then it's time to start interviewing other people in around your nation or around the city. You don't have to work with a CPA in your city. You can work with people remotely, both financial advisors and CPAs. This is true for both. But you got to really like that person, because let me tell you, there are things that happen. Life happens, and we all of a sudden find ourselves where maybe somebody has died or we've had a big loss in our business. And when, if we don't like and trust that person really, really deeply, then in a good moment in our life, it is really hard to feel comfortable with them in a bad moment of our life. So it's so important. So before we talk, we're going to talk about the tax laws and how to use tax strategy to increase your profit. But the reality of it is you need somebody at the other end of this. And that somebody isn't going to be me. Right. But you need somebody on the other end of this who puts their name and their reputation and their education, and they sign your tax return certifying that they did it beautifully and properly.
Yep.
If you are self-employed, let me just give you some advice. Never, 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 never use TurboTax to do your taxes unless you want to have an audit. Because businesses that aren't brick and mortar, freelancers, you know, self-employed human beings, are audited at twice the rate of other people. So don't do it. You want somebody to put their signature on that tax return. This is not the place to try to save $300.
Right.
Go get your taxes done by a CPA that you like. Shall we move on?
Yeah, it was great though. It was good. Good that was good rant. Good rant. Have a sip of wine. That was awesome. You turned me onto the CPA that I use. In this moment. And it's the same thing. It's like, I feel there's a lot of peace of mind knowing that they've signed their name to this work, because if I had to do it, I would go crazy.
Oh yeah. I cannot believe how many times a week I tell people who own businesses to stop using TurboTax. I just can't believe it. Like, crazy.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. So,
All right. So let's dive into
about the new tax laws.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's do it. Now the problem that we have is
Huh? I just want to say, like, hit me from a high level, because if you go too deep on this,
you might need some.
I might not recover.
You might need some rain
cloud. Hit me from a high level. See if
I will.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Okay. You're a good friend to me.
You're about to be a good friend to me.
So here's the thing. What we're going to talk about is decreasing taxes, which every entrepreneur loves the idea of that.
Yeah. Right.
Because even if we aren't paying taxes, we just hate the idea of paying taxes. Mm-hmm. So. With the new tax laws, there is a loophole. And that loophole has two steps to it, two little steps. The first step is the word salary. The second step is distribution. We'll cover both.
Okay.
But essentially, let's do high level for just, you know, I don't know what our listeners make, but I'm just going to use like round numbers. So let's say that we have a entrepreneur, a solopreneur, who has about a $50,000, $40,000 salary. We'll go with $50,000 salary. Okay. They're on payroll. And the reason they would elect to do that is so that they can avoid self-employment tax. Another episode. Let's go.
Okay.
So we'll do self-employment another time. So they elect to do that. They put themselves on payroll with the company and they get a paycheck from their company instead of just like, I'm going to take money out of my company kind of thing.
Yep.
That's the first thing that has to be in play for this loophole to work.
Okay.
The second thing that has to be in play is the distribution of profit, which means you have to be profitable.
Right. Yeah.
So what happens is if we have a $50,000 salary and then we have $100,000 of profit, when that profit, even on paper, doesn't even have to be like necessarily transferred, like press the transfer button, move the money.
Right.
When that $100,000 gets distributed as profit to the business owner, the new tax laws are amazing because they will only tax $80,000 of it.
Uh-huh.
So in English, what that means is that gap between what you distribute and what you pay tax on is 20%. And that 20% is pure, unadulterated profit that isn't taxed. So for every $10,000 of profit you make, you're going to have and that you distribute through this methodology, you're going to have 2,000 of it that you don't have to pay tax on. Mm. And when you take a look at what the typical family is making or and what they're paying in tax, let's just say somebody has a 30% tax bracket.
Right.
Well, that is 30% saved in taxes on just that $20,000. Mm. So that is a very meaningful, very practical way to increase your profit now without even changing your revenue or your expenses.
Right. You're just changing the
How
you pay yourself and the distribution, or you're probably not even changing the distribution. You're just changing how you pay yourself and what's left over, the profit.
Yep.
Is just taxed differently now than it used to be.
Yes.
Okay.
So in my world, with what I teach people to do with money and cash flow, mm-hmm. I teach people to do bank account budgeting, which basically in English means you pull up your phone, you've got an app, and you see these different bank accounts, and you know what they are meant to do. Mm-hmm. The very most important account in that structure is your profit first account, or my profit account, whatever you want to call it. And so we plan on the business owner taking those profits out of the business every single quarter. And so every dollar that we put in profit first, what we know is because of the new tax laws, every dollar that we send across the table and pay to our family, we only have to pay tax on 80% of it. Mm. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. And I don't think that the broad entrepreneurial community understands this.
Right.
Partially because even CPAs are just getting caught up on it. Like as of last year, December 2018, the new tax forms weren't even published mid-December.
Wow.
So CPAs were scrambling. Everybody was scrambling. We didn't know what it would look like. But when you're self-employed, this is a really practical tip. It is better to pay yourself a low salary and pay FICA and pay your tax and stuff on that, and then distribute your profits as a distribution, because every $100 of distribution that you take instead of salary, you save 20% of that on tax.
Got it. I was going to ask you about the, that it seems like I should pay myself a lower salary so that there's more distribution of profit.
Definitely.
Because the tax rate's lower. Yeah. Yep. That's killer. I love that.
Yeah.
So whoa, come on, people.
Right?
Like, come on.
It's awesome. Like, there are so many things we can do to change, and I could geek out, but I won't. Change our modified adjusted gross income. There's like lots of strategies, but this is just an easy one. Pay yourself a low salary. And if you do that, then you qualify to take distributions, which are taxed at 20%. You can't just take distributions.
Yeah.
Taxed at 80%. So you can't just take distributions. You have to have a salary and low salary, and then pass the profits as a distribution over to your family or your personal checking account. And every single dollar that you do that, only 80 cents of every dollar will be taxed.
Logistical question. In the transfer of those profits, is there a certain way that has to happen? Like with paying myself, I want to have a payroll service or something that's writing me a check. But for the distribution, can I just transfer? Do I need to make a note that says transfer? Or
thank you.
How do I do that?
Let's talk really quick about payroll. Definitely consult with your favorite tax advisor about this, and maybe even your favorite attorney about what would be the best way of company formation, LLC, S-Corp. Right. We are not going to geek out on that today.
Right.
But there is a rule of thumb that everybody that listens needs to know. And that rule of thumb is you never, never, never bank your business banking at the same place that you do your family banking. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that, people roll their eyes at me, but honestly, the reason we don't do that is it protects us in an audit. Or it can protect us in an audit. So you don't ever want to go over here to your purse, your business account, and press the transfer button and transfer your distribution into your family bank account. That is a no-no. Mm. That if you're audited, that can be seen as commingling personal and business finances. So I teach people that they need to bank at separate institutions for family and business. And then we need to have a very clear plan for distribution.
Yep.
In my world, when I'm coaching people, what I have them do is they take distributions of profit outside of their salary whenever they need to, or at least quarterly. I find, Chris, that business owners are really uncomfortable with taking money out of their business because they're in this habit of always reinvesting back into the business.
Yeah.
So it becomes really difficult. It's like a baby step to say, you need to pay yourself your profit this quarter. Please do it. And they're like, no, I Yeah, you can. So the way we take our distributions is we actually physically write ourselves a check out of the business bank account, and we take it over to our family bank account and we put it over there. And then we let the bookkeepers and the accountants do the bank reconciliation behind the scenes. So never use the transfer button. Never.
Do we have to write on the check? Do we have to write distribution?
No, it's a good idea. But what is hard to explain to people about taxes is, even if you don't take, this actually happened 2 weeks ago. I had a guy in my office who retained his profits in his business. And he didn't understand that the IRS doesn't care whether the profits stay in the business or they go to the family. You still have to pay tax on all of it, all of it. So, you know, the blood drained out of his face while I told him that. But the truth of the matter is, when you go get your taxes done, it's going to be income minus expenses, profit, standard deductions. It's going to be all of these formulas, and they're going to get to a number, which is your adjusted gross income, and that is what you pay tax on. So they don't care if you write distribution on it, because your tax, your all of the profits of your business, especially if you're an S corporation or an LLC or a sole proprietor, are going to be basically marked as profits. And then taxed as profit. So you don't have to write distribution on it, because your accountant is just going to assume that it is.
Okay. Got it. Perfect. Awesome. I love it. Here's what I love. It's why I'm glad we did this episode, because you know, as your profit coach and a financial advisor, but beyond all that, you have this extra like sixth sense or ninja skill or something, right? That allows you to understand the things that make me glaze over, like tax law. Well, no, like when you talk about it, I don't glaze over, but like if you were to sit down and I was read something or somebody talks to me about tax law, I'm like, oh, snoozer alert. But you just have this ability to understand it and then communicate it and translate it for the rest of us. So that Thanks. I was super glad you wanted to do this episode on this topic, because it's important that people know you have this ninja skill. So not only do they get you as a profit coach, but you can provide, you just provide additional value in your perspective and your consulting, because you understand these things. So
thanks
for being that person in the
sure.
world.
Sure. Happy to do it.
Oh, that's the
people need
nuts.
To go find yourself a CPA that you like.
Yeah. Yeah. And pick yourself up a bottle of
profit coach that you like.
Yeah.
I'm actually the only one in the country that I know of. So hopefully I'm likable.
I like the title. And while you're at it, pick yourself up a bottle of Rain Cloud at Trader Joe's.
Oh, wait, wrong side of the label. Rain Cloud.
And before it's gone. Leanne, if people want to connect with you for profit coaching conversations, consultations, where do they go?
They go to profitdiscoverycall.com. And perfect. On there, you can actually grab my ebook, which is 5 money mistakes that are stealing your profit and how to fix them.
Yes.
If you need a baby step into our relationship. But if you're brave and you know that it's just time, then schedule a 40-minute consultation with me. We're going to talk about your business. And we're going to talk about your business in a no-sin zone. Like, everything is allowed. There will be no judgment. And you're going to leave encouraged and hopeful about your business.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thanks, Leanne, for dropping some truth bombs today. And
yes.
Until next time, see ya.
See you later. Bye.